This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time, John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's good to have you with us.
It's good to be back. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with the thing that was even more heated than the first 3 days of the week here in Washington, and that's the latest round of debt negotiations. Apparently, the most recent round on Wednesday, I had the thing ending in a huff with the president leaving the meeting, saying that he's compromised more than anyone else, and he's not going to budge any further unless Republicans come more in his direction. Eric Cantor says that the president told him not to call his bluff, and Eric Cantor was pushing a series of smaller debt limit extensions in order to give lawmakers more time to come up with a more long-term deal. For the most part, John, it doesn't seem like much progress has been made. Have you heard anything to suggest that's not true?
No news is good news as far as those who don't want higher taxes are concerned. There is talk, of course, about the proposal by Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell that the president be given greater power himself to arbitrarily raise the debt. Most lawmakers, while not questioning the intellectual integrity of the Senate leader, are nonetheless a bit wary about giving the president so much power and question whether it can be done within the 14th Amendment boundaries. That said, one phrase I've heard of late is a two-word phrase, revenue enhancement. That means things such as raising the cost of airline tickets or some other things that not necessarily could be called taxes, but that would nonetheless bring in revenue. The ideas come to mind such as ending the ethanol subsidies or increasing Medicare premiums for certain seniors. I don't know if Republicans will go along with it. I do know that Grover Norquist of Americans for Tax Reform said that all but six Republicans in the House of Representatives have signed his campaign year pledge never to vote for tax increases or higher taxes. Now, whether they would consider this a compromise or whether they would call it a tax by another name remains to be seen. One other thing. The president has given in to House Republicans before. I was at the White House December 7th when he suddenly agreed to sign the extension of tax cuts for all Americans, including the highest wage earners. He did not want to do it. He told what he thought of it in no uncertain terms, but he went along with it. I heard him at his news conference Monday saying he would not sign a 30-day extension, a 60-day extension, or a 90-day extension. On the other hand, everyone is afraid of the D word. Debt. By August 2nd, no one wants the blame if the United States does not meet its obligations of full faith and credit and suddenly owes greater interest on its own debt. Something will happen by then, be it temporary or be it something with revenue enhancements.
John, let's go to prediction time now. Do you think the possibility that you outlined of raising revenues in an enhanced way but not officially being taxes is how this is going to be resolved? Or do you think this is going to be a staring contest with one side blinking on before or perhaps even after August 2nd?
Well, I said this, that when the first major summit came about that so many had hopes for that were eventually dashed, it was appropriate, I felt, that it came on Sunday because one could apply the words of Scripture. In fact, Isaiah 1:18, come let us reason together. The outcome so far is ominous because it's more from Isaiah 1:20. If ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. In that case, the mouth and the devouring will be done by the bases of the respective parties. On the other hand, they have to wonder, will devouring be even greater from the voters at large? And the finger-pointing and blame game for plunging America into debt, I think they'll reach a compromise, and the staring game will end.
John, there's not only the standoff between the president and most of the Republicans in Congress, there was also a Republican firestorm this week when Mitch McConnell suggested a third option. He says, we don't want to raise taxes, we don't want to default, so we'll basically give the president the power to raise the debt ceiling whenever he thinks it's necessary, and it would require two-thirds of Congress to stop him, which means it's not going to happen, most likely. A lot of Republicans thought this was basically surrender. Others say it's the best of a few horrible options. It looks like, for the most part, his idea is not gaining traction, but what do you make of the fact that he tried it?
Well, it was a trial balloon, and people were firing arrows at the balloon before it got into the sky. I spoke today to Congressman Chuck Fleischman of Tennessee, an attorney and a scholar of the Constitution who said he was worried that this would exceed the boundaries of the 14th Amendment and that giving a president too much power like that was very dangerous. He likened it to a situation of the U.S. being committed to the role it played in Libya, even after there was considerable upheaval in Congress over the president's action. No, I think the idea has considerable merit and should be looked at, but at this point, and given the time that's left before August 2nd, I have a feeling it will be shelved on the file.
John, let's move on to a very prominent passing politically, and that, of course, last Friday at the age of 93, former First Lady Betty Ford passed away at the exact same age as her husband, actually, 5 years ago, President Gerald Ford. Her funeral Thursday in Grand Rapids, following another one earlier in the week in California. She's also not only known for being the First Lady in the 1970s, but also, of course, for her very public and victorious battles against alcohol and breast cancer, and, of course, her great success with the Betty Ford Center. When you think about her legacy, both politically and otherwise, what comes to mind this week?
Well, as one who interviewed former President Gerald Ford, I can tell you that Betty Ford was someone whose politics I had serious disagreements with, notably her support for the Equal Rights Amendment and for abortion. She was very outspoken about that, as she was on a lot of issues. On the other hand, I have to say that if everyone agreed with me, the world would be a very dull place. Betty Ford was someone who brought some livelihood to the White House. Colleagues of mine recall how she enjoyed graciously greeting guests that she and the president would take to the dance floor, and probably they're the last couple who are going to cut the rug to bad, bad Leroy Brown at a White House dinner. Betty Ford's greatest contributions are less for delighting and adding new light to the White House than they were to giving people new light in their lives with the Betty Ford Center. For that was a noble cause, and it still is to this day. Be people movie stars or average citizens who fall into the addiction, the Betty Ford Center has been there, and her name and her legacy will live on long after people cannot remember what she did as First Lady.
John, we'll have to leave it there this week, and we'll talk again next week.
As I hold my breath on the debt ceiling and look to Congress and both ends of Capitol Hill for some blinking, I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi is political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.